Thank you. For those of you who sometimes watch television or even read newspapers, you will see many ads or a lot of advertisement about detergent and soap. What can be better than this soap? What can be better detergent than that detergent? How can you remove those stubborn stains that nothing else can remove them? Well, I've heard, at least in my household, we have a few women, and they've been discussing soap from time to time, that how good that soap is or that detergent is. And so if you were to go out today and ask 10 people what is the best detergent to clean stubborn stains and wash away dirt, 10 people that you've asked, they may give you 10 different answers about detergents and soaps. Then ask 10 other people, how can I erase or remove my spiritual stains? I'm messed up. And you may get 10 different answers about the methods and the ways you can get rid of your past. They will tell you psychotherapy, they will tell you yoga, they will tell you all kinds of things, and they may throw in religion, and they will tell you that that's going to deal with your past. And yet we know that so many people who were driven by this guilt committed suicide or they lost their mind. The Bible says that we, the human race, are messed up and soiled by sin and disobedience. Well, there are those who will say, of course, no, we were born good and then evil took over. But the truth of the matter is we all have been infected by the germ or whatever made ours to be sinful, the virus of sin. In Romans 3, verses 10 to 12, we read, "There is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. All have sinned and turned away, and they have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one." Either the Bible is wrong and is lying, or the Bible is right, and that there is not one person, not one human being, who is lily white without any spots and without the virus of sin. In Proverbs 20, verse 9, we read, "Who can say, I have kept my heart pure, I am clean and without sin? How can one be clean before God? Many have and still ask this question, how can I be clean?" So what is the answer? The writer of Psalm 119 asks the same question in his search. He asks, how can a man keep his ways pure? He wants to be clean, and he can't. He has tried religion, he has tried everything that he could to sort of put away that guilt conscience and feel clean, and yet he still feels dirty and unclean. He is tired of sin. He is tired of broken resolutions and promises. He desires to be clean and pure. Can you identify with this desire? Can you say that I've never asked God to forgive my past? Can you ever say that I've never committed a sin, or I was born so clean, so pure, that I don't need
any detergent, spiritual or psychological or whatever, can you say that you are not addicted to something that you've been trying to overcome, something that has held you captive under the curse of sin? And you've tried and you've tried, and nothing cleanses that spot. It's like having a spot on your hand and trying to clean it. And you try all kinds of soaps. You cry and you say, I wish I could. It's like a tattoo. You have to remove it, cut it off. That's how you feel sometimes. And you give up. And you say, well, I'm doomed. I'm not going to try anymore. Have you found yourself confessing the same sin over and over, only to realize that they are still there? Do you long for daily victory, but it seems that nothing works, and in despair you ask, oh God, how do I get clean? How do I get clean? Well, some will say, if you confess your sin, there you are forgiven and cleansed. That's true. But confess to what? To whom? How? And even confession has become such a little thing that people will manipulate confession. And it will tell you that if you go to the priest, if you go to the pastor and confess your sin, everything is fine. No, I believe the only detergent that will clean and will wipe away the sin does not come from the pastor, does not come from the priest or anyone. God himself is the one that can only forgive your sin and wash away your sin. And he will do it. King David cried out to God when he realized that he needed to be washed from his sins. You remember, David was a man of God. David was blessed, and God blessed David. And David had everything he needed. And yet, he was tempted. And yet, something happened in his life, and he found himself breaking God's commandments. All of them, if you wish, all at once. And then he felt so filthy. And then he felt so guilty. And then he felt so useless. And he lost his joy. He lost the reason, his raison d'etre to live. He didn't know what to do. So he started wasting away. And he gave up. And then he cries out to God and says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgression. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Psalm 51. You know, sin is deadly. Sin will first take away your joy. Then he will give you a guilt conscience. And guilt will work into your soul so badly that you'll almost feel like you're dead, no hope, nothing. Your bones will waste away, David is describing. And you may say this morning, why are you talking about stuff like sin and cleansing? Can't you talk to me about something happy, something joyful, something to give me a smile? And you know what? That's exactly what I'm doing today. This morning I'm saying that all your past can be washed away and you can leave this church full of joy and happiness, and that joy will be reflected to everyone you meet because now you know you've been washed and you are clean. The only detergent powerful enough to wash our sins is the blood of Christ. And the only way to remain clean is, the writer says, by living according to the Word of God. Jesus said, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." But you see, to know what detergent to use, to know which detergent is the best, to know that all the analysis you have seen, and to know all the results this particular detergent has brought to those who have used it, is not enough to purify you and to make you clean. You've got to go and get that detergent and use it to be able to say, "Yes, now I know this detergent is the best because I've tried it. Look at this shirt. It was all stainy and now it's clean." That's how it is with our soul. The pastor can get up and preach about purification and about holiness and about forgiveness, and in the heart may be full of dirt and hypocrisy. The elder can try to help others, and the teachers can do it, and yet if the heart has not been washed and cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ, that corruption and dirt stays there. But when the detergent, the blood of Jesus Christ, washes that sin, when if you stole $5, now you feel so guilty, you want to return it or put it back or deal with that. And then when you do it, you feel so good, so clean, so pure, because you've dealt with the sin. And it's the same thing. God will forgive. Jesus forgave the prostitute and said, "You are clean, you are pure, but now go and sin no more." I believe the detergent is able to cleanse you, to purify you, and keep you clean unless you soil yourself again. And then you must ask God to wash you again. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful detergent that can clean everything and give a new life. No stain is too tough for this cleanser. No sin is too stubborn for the blood of Jesus to eradicate and cleanse. You've heard the testimonies of drug addicts, of murderers, of people who have committed all kinds of crimes, and when they were washed with the blood of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden they became just the opposite of what they were, clean and pure. And the miracle was so great, like the Gadarene demon-possessed man, who when people tried to chain him down, to stop him from hurting himself and others, failed, and Jesus came and with one look, and by his words, removed those demonic powers from his soul, and he was set free. Now he became just like a lamb, just like a saint. And people were wondering, what happened? When the blind man was healed and his eyes were opened, he did not know who did it. He did not know the powers he had. He did not know who really Jesus was. He did not know what doctrines and what. He knew nothing. But he knew that he could see now. So when they asked him, "So tell us about this miracle," he said, "I have no idea how, but I know one thing. I was blind, and now I see. I don't know how I have been purified. I don't know how this church became lily white. I know one thing. This particular detergent made it white. I don't know what happened with my sins. I don't know how I quit this thing. But I know one thing, that God came and with His blood washed it away and threw it in the deepest sea. And now I can start all over again." That calls celebration for joy. I've heard testimonies of people who said to me, Pastor, you know, I was doing drugs and I was stealing from my mom and my dad and I was almost ready to kill myself. And then when the blood of Jesus Christ washed my sins away, I became a different person. This is the detergent, the most powerful detergent. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, I know that some of you may remember the verse. It says, come now, let us reason together. Let's discuss this. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Apostle John reassures us that the blood of Jesus Christ will purify us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. But we have to do our part to remain clean. We must guard ourselves against dirt and sin by avoiding sin. By storing the Word of God in our heart. In Psalm 119, verse 11, we read, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's interesting. I have hidden your words, God, your commands, your desires in my heart, so I will sin no more. Yes, you have cheated. Yes, you have committed this sin or that sin. And yes, now you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And now you're rejoicing. But remember one thing, you must keep the words of God in your life, in your heart, or else you'll sin again. Because the devil has not given up on you. Because the devil's job is to tempt you and to harass you. If Jesus, I always say this, if Jesus tempted if the devil tempted Jesus, why wouldn't he tempt you? Temptation is for every one of us. Daily Bible reading is vital to daily victory over sin. And we've been studying the Word of God, Bible studies. Yes, and a couple of people have said, even this morning I heard this being said, Pastor, you've been telling us all these things, but we are the same people listening to the same message, but the others are not listening. Tell them to come to the Bible study. That's what they said this morning. I'm not saying it. And you know what? Unless you have the Word of God in your heart, you won't be able to resist the devil. I remind my wife sometimes that when we met, she said so many beautiful words that she captivated my attention in my heart. And I have not forgotten them after 49 years. Eight. After 48 years. And you know why? Because I've kept them in my mind, in my heart. And that's how it is with our commitment to God. We said to God, I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. We lift up our hands and we pray, and then we go out and forget about our commitment to God, and then we go back to our daily life. Well, we are looking for trouble. The writer of this psalm decided not to stray ever from God's command. Psalm 119, verse 10. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. Help me, God, he says. No hypocrisy, no holding back. The writer of this psalm says, I am a sinner. I know that I am a sinner. And I know that you can wash my sins away. But help me to keep your word in me, so I will not sin again. God calls us to carefully look at our lives and see what needs to be washed and cleansed. He wants to bless us, but he needs to see whether we are willing to surrender our will and heart to him. He will never be able to bless you and give you so much joy and such a peace and serenity until you surrender your will to him. And what do I mean by that? You say, I'm addicted to drugs. You say, I'm addicted to gossiping. You say, I'm addicted to whatever it is. And I can't let go because I can't. And unless you commit your will to God and say, you know what, Lord, I can't do it. David said, I can't do it. I need your help. And God reached down and changed his heart. God calls us to carefully look in our lives and decide. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, we read, love the Lord your God with what? With your mouth? It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Please tell me that we're doing it. If you're doing it, then you must have a halo around you. We say we're doing it, but we're not. And if we do it, then we'll be pure and holy. If you are filled with God's presence, you will not sin. And if you fail in sin, he is there to wash your sin away and help you continue your journey. God is love. Anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. In Romans 10, verses 11 to 13, we read, as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, to me, this is very clear. It says, for anyone, everyone, no exceptions. Jesus did not die only for the Jews. He did not die only for the Greeks. He did not die only for the whites. He did not die only for the blacks. He did not die for any particular person, but he died for everyone, every human being who was born, is being born, and will be born. His blood is sufficient, strong enough detergent to purify our sins and cleanse us. How can we keep ourselves clean? It's a question that is very often asked. The psalm writer shares his secret in verse 11. It says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Spurgeon said, when the word of God is hidden in the heart, the life will be hidden from sin. When the word of God is hidden in the heart, the life will be hidden from sin. Spurgeon said that. Do you want to be clean? The only way to be clean is to be washed by the most powerful detergent there is. Have you been washed by this divine detergent? Is the Word of God guiding you daily? Sin will keep you from the Bible, but the Bible will keep you from sin. God spoke through Ezekiel and said, and I'll be closing with this, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my law. Is that an encouraging portion? But that takes a lot of commitment. He kept saying, I will, I will. He did not say, you do it, you do it. He is saying, I will do this. I will commit my life. I will follow your decrees. And I will humble myself. And I will allow you to be my Lord and Savior. And you will remove that heart which is made of stone. You see, the devil has a way of doing things. The devil comes into your heart and finds it very soft and very, you know, pliable. And he walks in there and he starts pushing a little here, a little there, and pushes the right buttons until that heart responds well. And until you start responding to the temptations and the joys that these little sins bring in. But when the last drop of that joy and that pleasure is squeezed out of your life, then your heart becomes as stone as granite. May God help us to resist temptation. But we cannot do it on our own. We need a superpower. And the only superpower we know is God Himself, who has created us. And the only super detergent that can cleanse away our sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being not only willing, but ready to forgive our sins and wash our sins away. We come to you this morning for your help. If there are any things that we must deal with this morning, please, Lord, touch each one of us and help us to see which areas need to be washed and cleansed. And help each one of us, Lord, to somehow realize that we are lost in this jungle of sinful existence without your guidance. And we are not clean without your blood which was shed on the cross. Touch each one of us, restore us, and revive us. In your blessed name I pray, Amen.